Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship in the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
Shared with you the death toll, if some of you remembered. I think it was the first service of the year or maybe the second early thereafter. And I talked about a scroll that I had found online that actually gives you up to the minute death toll. You remember that? It tells you who just died and what they just died from. And within the time that we were here, thousands of people had passed away. It's a United States death toll is what it provided. And so I come here today and I said to you, what's in your wallet? And I used the scripture that had to do with the keys. And I want to tell you that God has been speaking to me in the keys for years. Probably 10 or 15 years. He says that I have given you the keys to the kingdom. But do you use the keys that he's given us? You see, these keys are special. They're unique. These keys, for those that are old enough to remember, these are skeleton keys. Anybody know the significance of skeleton keys? These are master keys. Ha 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 ha. Master keys were able to unlock any door in the castle. These were really, really important keys to have, because not only could you open the dungeon, you could open the treasury. It is all shot up. Is that all right? I felt that. I'm going to use that key. That's the treasury key right there. But just as important as the treasury key, the dungeon key was important too. Because some stuff had to get locked away in the dungeon. Now, we talked about death that first time, the first of the year, because your life is so important that if you're going to be here and you're not going to do what you're supposed to be doing, then you might as well don't be here. You're taking up space. But you have the keys. Does anybody in here have a need? I mean a health need, a financial need, a situational need, a relational need, a need, right? You have the key, because you don't get a need without a seed. I'm going to tell you why. You don't have to believe me. Let's go talk to somebody. Because it's all right if you don't believe me. But see, there are some people that had needs that God shared with us, their needs, and they didn't realize that they had the answer to their need already in their possession. You already have it. You're being chased by the Egyptians. Huh? They got swords. They got cannons. I don't think they had cannons. But they got kill your stuff, right? And they're chasing you. And you have convinced some people that they should leave with you, Moses. And you're in the middle of this running. And they got you close. They given chase and they caught up quick. And you reach the edge of the sea. So now you have a need, right? I got an army and a river, an army and a sea, an army and a sea. I have a need. And in my natural mind, my need is probably a boat. Something. Airplane, a yacht. And God says, because Moses ain't have a wallet, right? So he said, what's in your hand? He didn't have him build a boat real quick. He had him to point a stick. Because you have everything you need. See, the power was not in the stick. The power was in the faith to extend the stick and believe that God would deliver you from the situation. Huh? What you got don't look like what you need, but it's better than you ever thought. Hallelujah, God, I thank you. You have the keys. You have the keys. You have everything you need. You have everything that you need. You have everything that you need. It's all right if you don't want to believe Moses, because he ain't the only witness. Huh? He ain't the only witness. Because see, I had a brother that was out tending to the sheep, minding his own business. He was minding his own business. He was tending the sheep. He was minding his own business. And his big brothers and them was out fighting a battle that they were losing because they were scared. Yes. Huh? They were scared. And his father said, go on out there and take your brother some cheese sandwiches, because I don't even know if them boys is all right or not. My brother David walked up on his brothers and said, y'all scared of that? Anybody have a need? Do you know that you already have a seed? Because you already have the keys. Huh? So David said, y'all are scared of that big old flat-footed, cross-eyed, uncircumcised Philistine? Huh? And he went into the king, and the king tried to equip him. Because just like Moses, if he had to listen to somebody, they'd have said, you need a boat. You need some, you know, getaway gear. But God gave him a stick. And if some of y'all was standing around and all Moses had a stick, you'd have convinced him we need to go back to Egypt. Be careful who you listen to. Because everybody don't know how to use the master key. David went in, talked to Saul. Send me, I'll go. Saul said, where is you going? Okay. With your little self, you want to go? Go ahead. I don't care. And he intended to equip him with what he thought was what he needed. Be careful who you receive direction from. Huh? Everybody don't know what key you're supposed to use for your journey. Your doors are not earthly doors. He said, whatsoever is loosed in heaven shall also be loosed in earth. You don't need a natural key when you have the master key in your possession and you have been anointed to bring forth fruit in season. Hallelujah. So David commenced to trying on this big stuff. Now, first of all, in case y'all didn't know, he put on Saul's stuff. Huh? Saul was head and shoulders over the crowd. And David was a little ruddy boy, about my size. He probably skinny than me, but he had on big old sword, like flopping around in your daddy clothes. And you going into battle. He realized not so much. David didn't have no pockets either. So God said to David, what's in your pocket? What's in your hand? He had a clutch filled with rocks because God intended to use those rocks as his keys. You already have what you need. You're sitting here waiting for someone to come and save you, and you don't even realize that the Savior lives within you, and you already are saved. You just have to walk out of captivity because you is already free. You're free. You're delivered. You're set free. You have the key to the kingdom. Let's find out why we're talking about having to die then. Why does he keep bringing that death message back? I keep saying, God, what does the death have to do with the keys? I understand that Christ died and he descended and he took the keys and then he rose again from the dead with all power in his hands. But what does death have to do with me? And he told Paul and Timothy to explain it to me. Paul and Timothy in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21 says, to live is Christ and to die is gain. But we churched that up. I'm dead in the spirit. I keep my carnal body safe and chaste. And you walk around with your carnal mind and you think because it don't have sex on it that it ain't carnal. Come on. To be carnal minded is to limit the power of God in your life. Just like the man of authority, the centurion that came to God, came to Christ and said, I have somebody that needs to be healed. And he took that authority. And he sent healing back on home with himself to his soldier who was healed before he even got there. We have authority. You have the key. You have authority. You have the key. You have the power. You have the authority. He said, I gave you the power to tread upon serpents. You have dominion, power, and authority. Those are the keys that you have. And they are essentially all of the keys that you need. He's also giving you the power to get wealth. But some of y'all be turning that down every chance you get because you think as long as you're poor, you're holy. I can't give up the cigarettes and I can't give up the drinking and I can't give up the sex, but as long as I stay poor, I'm close to the cross. The devil is a liar. Because money answers all things and he's given us the power to get wealth. He said the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. That's a key. That's a key. Get and be able to move mountains. Civic unrest. You think if we could pay for some good lawyers instead of some bootleg lawyers, we might get some answers? Huh? Sickness, illness. Now, I do believe that we have the power to heal by laying on our hands in the presbytery. But I also know that if God has imbued some doctor with some special skills, then we ought to also be able to pay them to have him to work on our baby. And huh? Amen? Amen? So maybe David is not enough. Because maybe you're not fighting uncircumcised Philistines. Huh? Maybe Moses is not enough. Because the Egyptians are not on your back. But maybe you're locked inside of a prison. Might even be created by your own hands. A prison of doubt and disbelief. A prison where you can't perceive that you'll ever get out. There's too many with them. The walls are too high. And all you have is noise. Noise. Imagine that all you had to fight against the prison of your mind, to fight against the wall that's closing in around you. And some of us are challenged with that. We don't understand why. Can't seem to get through to the other side no matter how hard we try. We can't seem to figure out the answer, but we're trying in our own strength. But see, Jeremiah has some walls. Just like David had a big, giant, uncircumcised Philistine. Just like Moses had an army of Pharaoh's soldiers. Jeremiah had a wall. And he had an army too. And a big, strong army that God built up. But he also had a horn. God uses the simple things to confound the wise. We might not use the horn to tear down the walls, but you can use your voice. Because when the praises go up, the blessings come down. When you cry out thanks in anticipation for what God is going to do for you, then you can receive the blessings that God has for you. When you understand that faith is the key and that prayer unlocks the door, and I know that that's a colorful colloquialism that we've heard since we were at grandma's knee, but I need you to get it out of the common and put it into the practical. Huh? The simple things to confound the wise. You got the keys. God, Jesus said it to him. He said, I speak to you in parables. Because it is important to understand that we have to share this wisdom amongst us. But it's for everybody, but everybody won't take it. Huh? It's for everybody, but everybody won't take it. It's people in here in this room right now that will hear what I'm saying and apply it and take leap to their next destination. And that there are others that will sit on the seat of do nothing and stay exactly where they are and be the first ones to tell you, that ain't nothing. I heard that a million times before. The same word can be rhema and relevant as well as dead and dormant. Huh? The same seed can be rhema and relevant or dead and dormant. You don't have to believe me. Go down the street with Jesus because he talked about that too. Huh? The stony ground, the thorny ground, the good ground. Will you be the good ground that this word comes forth into and allow it to dig deep down, and that you actually water the Holy Spirit, that you actually water it with your faith and understand that faith without works is. When you hear it, you got to get up and do something with it.
I don't care how many keys you have. If you don't find a door to stick it in, you ain't opening up nothing. Huh? Find your door. What's your door? Now, I know we've navigated up and through a couple of different scriptures, but I'm going to tell you, it's because God put them in there because you can't relate to, everybody don't relate to everything. Some people see themselves in Moses. Some see themselves in David. Some see themselves in Jeremiah. But maybe you might see yourself as the widow Zarephath, about to give up, about to just die. And maybe you need a prophet to come by you and tell you, look, make me something first, so that you can exercise your faith. Anybody sit down for too long, try to get up, and you over a woman of a certain age? Huh? Huh? Sit down for about good 20-something minutes and then try to get up and, ooh, we're going to get up like this for a minute. But when you walk a little bit, and then you can get cute again. Hey, you can drop it like it's hot. You can work it and move it how you used to do. Well, that's what the prophet had to do. He had to tell her, go make me a cake so you can get your mind off what you ain't got. And understand that you have more than enough just by extending your faith towards me. This meal won't run out. So I'm going to submit to you as I wonder what God is doing in the midst of us. You might not have a wallet, but maybe you have a pocket. You might not have a pocket, but at least you have a hand. And if you don't have a hand, maybe you have a mind. If we can unlock our minds to the possibility that wherever you are in life, it's not too late for God to fulfill his promises with you, in you, and through you, Sabrina. What he's placed in you really ain't even for you anyway. And if we could come to a place where we realize that what's in us is not for us, then it might sit better with our good Christian self. Right. Because you don't want it for you. No, I'm fine. No, it's good. Hallelujah. No. But now imagine that what's in you is what's keeping someone else from life and life more abundantly. And I don't mean that figuratively. I mean that literally. Maybe somebody needs to understand, Teresa, how to eat properly because they're about to die. But you won't tell nobody because I don't want to brag and I don't want to boast. Huh? Or somebody's child is getting ready to take a job somewhere to try to earn enough money for school because nobody told them that there were other options. And by the time they get that job, they're going to get tired and they're going to realize, I can't work and go to school, so I'm just going to work. And I'm not going to do anything else. And they're going to give up their dream of becoming a doctor, lawyer, or anything else because you decided, I can't do this. Huh? When I wanted to be humble, and I'm going to call it fake humble. I know I'm the only one that was ever fake humble. It's all right. Oh, no. That's not how the Lord called me. Hey, man, I'm good to just sit here and be servant leader in my little tiny church and not do much because that's what the Lord called me to do. But then people are dying in places, in other churches, in other situations where they're not hearing a rhema word for them. And I'm not saying that the word is not going forth. I'm saying the word that God placed in me might need to go forth. The word that God placed in you might need to go forward. And as long as we act in fake cute Christian, no, that's all right. It's not me. It's the Lord. The Lord uses us. And every time I stand up, I surrender who I am and what I am to Him in exactly all of me. All of me. Because see, there's some people that can't hear from somebody that doesn't have a crazy blonde mohawk. There are some people that simply can't hear. They can't hear. You're not relatable. And they might be waiting for you. A first lady in sexy green pants. Y'all laughing, but I'm telling you, I left ministries that I was being fed in because I didn't look like nobody there. And I felt like I could never become what was there. So to be able to be somewhere where you know that the Spirit is here, your Spirit, the right Spirit, that's what you need to do. But you got to step out of your comfort zone. You got to be a little bit uncomfortable so God can make you comfortable. He wants to create in you a clean heart, and He wants to renew the right Spirit within you. He wants to restore you with a joy, unspeakable joy. He wants to give you everything, but He wants to know if He can trust you with it. Can He trust you with it? And for the likes of us, sometimes He can't. Because He knows He's already given you a cruse of oil and you won't even go gather ye many vessels. Huh? That's the Syrophoenician woman. Some of us have gifts now that we are hoarding, and hoarding is a sin. Denying the power of God is a sin. It's as much a sin as all the sins we want to list out for people. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is an abomination. And the Holy Ghost's job is to empower you to do in earth whatsoever He has said in heaven. To give you your Jeremiah 29:11 experience, because He knows the thoughts and the plans that He has for you. Plans of good and not of evil, that you shall receive a desired end, because He wants to bless you like that. I'm going to be unconventional right now in the name of Jesus, that if there's anybody that needs to die right now because they can't believe for themselves, they need to kill that spirit and take up Christ in the name of Jesus, that we're going to have altar call right now, that you surrender yourself that's in the way, your doubt, your disbelief, anything that is keeping you from God, you bring it right now to the altar and you leave here, and you leave it with a commitment to fulfill God's call in your life from henceforth and forevermore. The Word of God says, you ain't the first one that didn't believe enough. We hear the scripture that says, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And we think that somehow that man didn't have enough faith in God. But I submit to you that he was talking to God about his belief, which meant he believed in God. He was explaining to God that he didn't believe in him. So if I say to my Father who I believe, help thou my unbelief, I'm saying, let me believe in you and what you say about me until I can believe in me and what you say about me. Believe in God or believe in me. Believe in your pastor. Believe in your mentor. Believe in somebody that says, I see something in you. I see something in you. Until you can believe it for yourself so that you can get out of the way and give the kingdom what the kingdom has been waiting for in the name of Jesus. That was not a suggestion. The floor is open to surrender what you need to kill in your life. your doubt, your disbelief. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not wealthy enough. I'm not connected enough. Whatever it is that you are not enough of, turn it over to God right now. Pick up him in the name of Jesus. Pick up him and his ability in the name of Jesus. Take what he can do right now in the name of Jesus. Leave what you can't do right now in the name of Jesus. And walk in the power and the authority that he has given to you in the name of Jesus.
Lord, give me you. Lord, give me.
And understand that this right here,
Lord, give me.
This only works if you have the master key.
Lord, give me.
Come up here and stand and leave and bend and bow all you want.
Give me.
But if you haven't created a relationship with the Father,
everything else,
you don't have the master key.
So
while you're here, if you don't know for sure that if you would have died, you go to heaven.